Amanda. Yeah. Come on now. I've been waiting to see you on a damn episode. Don't waste time, show me and find got the best ass on the show. Yeah. I want some airtime, cause I'm cute and I'm fun, not like all the rest. I've got a much nicer chest. Kendall is so lame, really just the same. AMC, don't you know? AMC, don't you know? The fans, they want it, but they don't got it. Sick of those damn teens, Amanda is the one they want. They don't feel it when Randy's on the screen. It's really boring. Amanda's really what they want. The fans are waiting. We only got 4 minutes of Amanda. Hot with Jake or with Josh. We want more than 4 minutes of Amanda. We only got 4 minutes, need more than 4 minutes of Amanda. Amanda. Oh, man. Did you see Amanda this week? TPTB, what are you thinking? We need more Amanda with some Jake or some Josh. Hell, I'll take it with Greenlee. Just give me more Amanda, please. This week on All My Children, shame. We get only 4 minutes of Amanda this week, but an entire week of Cold B? What the fuck?
Lame. Kendall tells Greens that Ryan loves her and I don't really care.
Framed. Blandy tries to frame the terrible teens with her nanny cam, and Jordan Hudson is in love.
And tamed. Angie's weave is finally behaving.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast. We watch so you don't have to. That is gospel to us here.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
When I talk about those certain teens, I get a little nauseous.
I miss chompers.
Chomp, 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 chomp.
We have big mouths on the show. That's why we do the show.
Yeah.
We do the show because we have opinions, but at the core, we love the show.
Otherwise, why would we be doing
it? Why the hell would we do this?
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson. I hope she does. Maybe that'll teach her like to go take an acting class or something. You're gonna bleep me a couple of times tonight, I'm sure, because I'm feeling feisty.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending July 25th, 2008. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
He made himself giggle.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Well, let's start the week off by saying I am not amused.
What is going on, Jordan Hudson?
Have you heard this rumor that's going around?
No, share.
There is a rumor that is going around that ABC is considering canceling All My Children. Can you believe this?
That's a problem.
That would be a problem. We will be the Landview Podcast.
Yes. We would definitely be the Landview Podcast.
Now, I gotta tell you, I hate rumors, and these rumors fly about in the magazines and the internet.
Yeah, how did you read this?
I read it on, I forgot what site, but the thing is, these rumors get started, and I gotta tell you, I mean, one could look at it and say, there might be some truth to this rumor, being that, because you brought up a good point, there's that fabulous commercial for General Hospital, One Life to Live, where they showed the love storylines, and
yeah,
they use
that
song.
Cool weeks ago, I mentioned
hey,
that.
If any of you know if that's a real song, let me know so I could buy it, because I like that song. Give me something to believe.
Sometimes they take a song and they hype it, remember?
Yeah, yeah. But they show Lulu and Johnny, and then they show Spinelli and Maxie, and then on One Night to Live they show Gigi and Rex, and I forgot, I think Cole and Star.
Cole and Star,
and
yeah.
Yet, there's nobody from All My Children.
Not one people.
So, when you...
I bet they didn't even tape anything for them.
Yeah, when you see that, you have to wonder, Does Brian Fonz and ABC really give a flying f*** about our show, All My Children? Because I honestly, you're investing money on getting two big daytime stars from another soap, but you're getting two 40-year-olds. Which, wow. There's nothing against 40-year-olds, because, you know, I'm all for that. But, you know, it's like, this is a network that's, like, been harping on the fact about everybody being young and blah, 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 blah. Where are your priorities? It's like, I personally feel they want these shows to fail. And it's not just ABC. I mean, Procter & Gamble has made As World Turns and Guiding Light do so many cutbacks to try to keep the show on the air. And the shows are suffering. And I honestly feel that all the networks, I mean, God, NBC could care less about daytime TV.
I'm telling you, in my opinion, they're not suffering from lack of funds as much as they're suffering from lack of imagination.
Well, I mean, I don't know. And again, we're getting onto the fact that there's a new head writer coming aboard. And I mean, all of you on the blog have been talking about the fact that you can see that there's this transition period. And it's a bad transition period.
It is hurting.
And I got
it's like puberty.
I'll tell you, I'm really disappointed.
It's like the troublesome teen years. Ooh, it's painful.
Those troublesome teens. I mean, I don't know. I just feel really bad for what James Harmon and Barbara Einstein or whatever. They pissed me off because you know what?
James Harmon Brown.
You got fired and you got a raw deal when you really should have been given some credit for really changing the show around. But you're going on a bad note. That's the way I feel.
I'm sorry, you but I taken called up, it. Jordan Hudson, give me some credit. I called it eons ago. When they broke that strike, they showed their true colors.
Well,
and they got
you
their
are
just
still harping on that. You are
they
still...
broke strike. Come on now.
All
they
right.
broke
well,
strike.
Look,
that's messed
all I'm going
to
say is you should have taken a page out of Sidney Penney's book.
Puerto Ricans are very loyal. All right? They broke their loyalty. That's all I'm saying. All right.
I'm not going to argue with that. Because they did what they did. What I'm all saying is they needed to take a page out of Sidney Penney's book and
class.
Go out on a classy high note.
Class.
You show that you're better than them and you give your all and you make them realize what the f*** were we thinking by letting this person go.
I wonder if that's what they're doing. I wonder if every day they sit at their computers and they're like, let's see what dumb line I can give Kendall next. Let's see if Zach can handle this line. Ha, ha, ha. Maybe I'll make Zach fart. What do you think?
That was so funny. But look, all I know is that I have from my source that Chuck Pratt, they've already started taping Chuck Pratt stuff. My source, I can't reveal my sources, just like Brooke English, I keep that to myself. But my source told me that, you know, Chuck Pratt stuff has started. And from what my source told me, it's still a lot of the same crap that we're watching now.
But his writing, Jordan Hudson, from what I understand from my sources, would have just started. So I'm going to play devil's advocate. I don't know that we could judge yet. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. All I know is that when
his first episodes, people, we found out, air August 27th.
Yeah. Even though one of the magazines made a mistake, it said that it starts airing when Beth Eller starts airing.
Wrong.
But nevertheless, when Barbara and James took over, they had no choice but to make a sharp U-turn and make that show turn around because Megan McTavish's stuff was so dreadful.
That show was in Poosville.
You know, the fact that from what I hear, Chuck Pratt is still continuing these idiot storylines. From what I heard, Annie is still being haunted by Richie. So Richie's still around taping. From what I heard, what's his name? What is that pimp's name?
Fletcher.
Fletcher is still around. Fletcher.
Fletcher from Long Island.
Fletcher from Long Island. I'm sorry. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he is awful.
He is sufficiently creeping me out, though. I will give him that.
He is a weirdo. He is
He's like
awful.
Zarf on meth or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
on crystal meth. That's what he is.
Every time Fletcher's on air, I keep waiting for Pam Grier to come in as Foxy Brown and break the door down and be like, let me give you some sugar, and slap him off because... he is such a throwback. Like,
you know what I think he did? I think he studied all of Quentin Tarantino's films and put into his character aspects for every single one of his villains and did it and does it badly.
I mean, Billy Clyde Tuggle was such a unique, different pimp.
This guy's not an actor, though. No, I don't think he has any resume.
Well, then you know what? Maybe
the actor that played Billy Clyde Tuggle was an actor. They were all actors. There were days when soap actors actually had to be actors.
Maybe what we need to do then is not fire Julie Harana and Crappa Papa, whatever her name is, but fire, what's her name, that casting director?
Listen, we both cannot stand Miss Judy Blatt Wilson.
We need to give her a name. Yeah, I know. She needs a name.
Gosh.
Well, y'all come up with something.
Yeah, y'all come up with good names.
I got to tell you, the blog was hopping this week.
It was hopping.
You guys, let me say, you guys were more interesting than the show.
Oh, totally.
And you guys could write better than the writers.
Thank you.
Show.
We have good writers on our blog.
And we do have good writers, and they come up with good ideas. And you know what? We knock the head writers, but it's not.
Good criticisms and good positive feedback as well.
No,
they give us both pros
criticism.
And cons. Exactly.
The term is constructive criticism.
They're not just like poo-pooing
everything. They're not just like,
everything.
We do it, you know, because I won't mention certain other places where I read that people just say like, "Oh, I hate it," and they don't give any explanation.
It totally
sucks. You need to dissect everything and analyze what it is that you don't like, so that people could try to, you know, improve things. You can't just say, "Oh, I hate it." That's what we do here. We give constructive criticism. We analyze what we saw this week.
That's what we try to do.
That's what we try to do. All I can say,
we may not be doing that much longer.
I mean, let me say something. This week was so awful. I mean, even Guiding Light. Guiding Light gave me some two good episodes this week.
I won't say it because I had a couple glimmers this week.
No, but see, I too, there's moments. But see, that's the whole thing. That's all I'm seeing on all my children lately is moments. There's moments. You do not make a show on moments. One Light to Live from Monday through Friday was riveting this week.
Riveting?
Riveting. And Guiding Light, Monday and Tuesday's Guiding Light, I felt like I was back in the 80s watching Guiding Light. I was so happy.
I turned on One Life to Live. I saw some old-time flashback storyline. I was laughing.
Oh, I love it. I know it sounds like it's cheesy, but you guys, you don't know. You have to get into it and just go with it. It is fabulous. I'm loving this time-traveling storyline.
Right. We will talk about that for sure later in the program. Mm. But for now, whew. You know what? I got to take a moment. I got to do some stretches, some lunges, before we get into this situation.
What you had talked about first?
It's really difficult. You see, it's causing me a little bit of stress and tension in my neck.
Well, do you want to start with the good stuff?
Maybe Mr. Martin could rub it out. Dr. Jake Martin could rub it out. I got to start with that.
Well, they were only on for like 2 seconds.
They
so let's
made
talk,
the whole week
let's
for
start,
me.
Let's start with the good stuff.
We're going to start with Amanda and Jake. I adore Miss Amanda, Miss Chrishell Stouse?
Let me tell you something.
Beautiful girl. Her hair looks amazing.
She
body's
us,
amazing.
She
face
gave
is
us,
amazing.
She gave us more in the 4 seconds that she was on than Kobe did the whole week. And Kobe was, I feel like Kobe was on the whole week.
Yes.
And it's just like, and again, this. Oh my!
Gonna start with the good stuff. What's the good stuff? The good stuff is that Amanda gets a crick in her neck, and she gets a crick in her neck from sleeping alone. She's all verklempt about the fact that she's sleeping alone, and she's all like, "Let's face it, she's a little bit horny." And I am kicking myself because I don't understand how a woman as beautiful and perfect and amazing as Miss Amanda, what's her last name?
Dylan.
Could be solo. How is she alone? How is this specimen, this beautiful creature, alone?
All I know is that she looked hot.
Her hair's different, right?
She looked
adorable.
Yes, she had a new haircut.
A little
Ooh,
bit of a new
gorgeous.
Haircut. Beautiful.
She looked, let me tell you something, she is hot.
And so she was complaining to Greenlee, and first of all, I'm going to tell you right now, Greenlee sits her down in the Fusion office and starts rubbing her neck. I got excited. I swear. First of all, that's how little action we are getting on this show. And second of all, Amanda is so sexy that anything that comes in contact with her immediately starts to melt. It's just like, she's amazing. I got excited. I almost heard the Slutmetric 2000 start to rumble. Remember our Slutmetric 2000?
Yes.
It broke because it done got used. But I almost heard it
that's
start to
rumble. That's what happens if you don't use it.
If you don't
it breaks
use it,
down.
It breaks down. So anyway, so then she decides to go to the hospital to get Jake to rub it. And Jake's not there. He's like on lunch duty or something. And Angie offers to rub it.
But wait, the thing that kills me is that What hospital do you go to that you can get a doctor just like that?
Yeah, no kidding. To rub your neck.
I mean, Angie's like a certified, like her specialty is like
hearts,
like
something.
No diseases,
oh,
and
disease,
it's
yeah,
like infectious
disease.
Yeah. And meanwhile, this girl comes to the nurse's deck and was like, "My neck's hurting me." And Angie's like, "I could see you." I was like, "I'm gonna move to Pine Valley because I can't get a doctor
yeah,
to see
no
me
kidding.
For nothing in my hospital here in New York." I'm like.
You could have like a brain tumor.
You could have a brain tumor. You could have your eyeball like hanging, dangling
and
out,
like,
and they'll be like, "Next, hold on."
They'll
wait.
Be like, "I'm sorry, Doctor Stanisky has nothing until next Tuesday." Dr. Orenstein can't see you for that bleeding ulcer you have until August 27th.
Of 2009.
2009. I'm sorry.
That's our first. That's our first appointment. That's our first available appointment. I'm sorry.
That is what you get in New York City. I'm telling you right now.
But here, the specialist in infectious diseases is going to look at your neck. I was like laughing. But you know what? It was all comedy. And I thought it was really funny and really cute. Because I was like living for Miss Amanda. She had so,
well, what happened was.
Her neck was like this. She was all stiff.
So what happened?
Like, I'm fine. Don't worry.
Like, I'm fine. Don't worry. I can't move my neck, but I'm fine. I'm fine. So she walks off, right? She goes to peek for Dr. J because she's on his lunch break, and she finds him and she tells him what's wrong, and he starts to rub her, and she's like, oh yeah, that's good. Yeah. Right there. And he's like, right there. And she's like, yeah, right there. Oh. And all
she
of
goes,
a sudden
no wait, she goes, you should get paid for this. He's like, I do.
So then all of a sudden he starts grabbing her forehead with his hand and he's like bracing his other arm on her shoulder, and he just snaps her little neck back. And she gets all pissed off and she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, your neck feel better? And she's like, oh yeah. Oh, it does. And it was so adorable and sexy and fun.
It was hot. Let's just look at it. Now, somebody in the blog had an interesting comment. I don't know who it was. I'm not going to say because I can't forget which name. But somebody said that they did not feel Amanda with Jake because they just didn't feel it. And I'll say this. I mean, yes, the chemistry between Greenlee and Jake is hotter because there's history there and stuff. But come on. Jake has chemistry with everybody. I mean, he had chemistry with Angie this week. Angie was so hot. I was like, ooh, do Angie. Do everybody. I mean, Ricky Paul Golden is like the biggest godsend on All My Children in the last few months.
And they're
not using him.
We get him bumping into Taylor on Thursday.
I'm going to say this about this.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say this. This is what is wrong with All My Children. You hyped up this thing so much, and all we see is 2 seconds of this overpaid actress who says absolutely nothing except, oh, sorry. And then Friday comes and there's no continuation. Now, am I to believe that we're not going to see her again until the end of August when her stuff starts airing? when Chuck Pastor starts airing? This was stupid. You executives at ABC are idiots. They're idiots.
But see, I got to take the opposite tack here because they always do it. When we got our first episode of Dixie, it was her. Like, for 1 second, they always do it. When Maria came back, it was like one second. When Jesse came back, we saw him in glimpses as he was fleeing this or that or the other thing.
See, but this has been the problem with the show. It's like, there's no continuity. There's no continuation. It's like how am I supposed to feel anything for Erica and Sam Woods when we have seen Sam Woods once every other, like, 5 weeks? You know what I mean? It's like, that is not a storyline.
You mean bobblehead?
Bobblehead. That's not a storyline. I mean, I'm like supposed to get into this Taylor and him. And the only thing that I will say is that was good was the fact that you saw the two of them looking each other, checking each other out and saying, Like, I realized that that's my problem with Frankie.
But
and,
I thought they knew each other. I thought the
No, she knows Frankie. She supposedly knows Frankie from Iraq. Jake wasn't in Iraq. He was in Africa. He was in Darfur.
Darfur,
whatever. listen. Like, that's when I realized that that's what why I can't get into Frankie and Randy is that there was never that moment when they saw each other and you kind of got this feeling that these two people are like soulmates connected.
Please. You're going to tell me that's the only reason?
No, there's other reasons.
I can give you a laundry list of why I can't get into Frankie and Randy.
And I don't know, again, I think, I don't want to say it's Terry because I'm not sure what to say, but somebody in the
blog. One of the big reasons is Randy.
All right, let's not go there. Let's finish up with, let's do the good stuff, Jake and Angie.
So listen.
We're going to start with all good stuff and then work our way to the bad stuff.
Good stuff.
So you know that means Brianna Mangrief is last.
Oh, he did not.
She is dead last.
Yeah, well, dead something. All right, listen. We
got that.
You get it? We got Jake and Angie. Just like Jordan said, we had some great Jake and Angie chemistry.
Those were some Jake and Angie scenes where I was living for those scenes.
Well, he revealed to Angie, because she didn't know, I don't think, about the whole Colby Martin
thing. She was been out of town for almost 20 years.
Yeah, so she didn't know about his relationship with Liza. And as soon as Jake mentioned Liza, Angie fake gag. She goes, which I loved. I think, was this, I don't want to miscredit, but somebody on the blog pointed that out as well. I loved it, I loved it, I loved it. And then he tells her the whole story. And, you know, I was glad that he did, because I didn't watch during those years. I had a donut hole of viewership.
Really?
I watched years and years ago, Greg and Jenny and blah, blah, blah. And then I had a big donut hole.
No, that was the last good stuff, man. I mean,
really?
Yeah, because when they got rid of...
I like the Santos family stuff, though. No?
No, I mean after this those years of this going on, that's when the show started going downhill.
Oh, I see.
That's when the show started going downhill. I mean, I was glad that he did, that they brought that up, because again, I like when they use the history. Because you got all this rich history, and it gives you an insight who to the, and again, Ricky Paul Golden played the hell out of those scenes. Like, you actually believe that he was the Jake who went through that.
But it also exposes the really bad math that the executives have in terms of the kids' ages.
Because, oh, of course,
Jake is like 40, maybe, right?
Yeah,
we said 73. He was probably born.
No, he was born. He was born somewhere in like the mid 70s, early to mid 70s. So he's,
yeah, so 75. So, yeah, so that would actually make him like
35.
Yeah,
34.
And Kobe's like 18.
Yeah, I know.
It makes no sense.
But that's soaps. But the thing is that, like, I love those scenes. I believe
and he looks young.
I believe those scenes. I really felt for him. I mean, it was real. It gave you like complexity. It gave you drama. It was really good stuff. And him and Angie worked so well off each other.
Yes, absolutely.
Those scenes were great for me. I was loving those scenes.
Yeah, like he's.
But see, this is what I'm talking about. Moments.
I agree.
Let's talk about another good moment.
Tata Jesse.
Loving the bromance.
Loving it too. I wrote in my notes, thank God Wednesday is grown-up day.
Yes.
Because Wednesday's episodes was grown-up day. We got a release from all of the stupid shit that was going on all the beginning of the week. I don't know if we could talk about Tad and Jesse without telling the viewers about all the painful stuff before it.
No, we're saving the painful stuff for last. We're talking about the good stuff.
All right, well, basically, since y'all probably watching anyway, although we are still watching, so you don't have to, so some of you may actually not be watching, we will skip ahead to the good stuff. Jesse reveals on Wednesday that he suspects that Colby and Cassie, and maybe even Petey, who is Tad's half-brother, are guilty of hitting Richie with that car.
And did you like the fact that Tad didn't know which brother he was talking about?
He was right. He has like 82 brothers.
Tad was like, Jake? He goes, no. The other one. Tad's like, oh, Petey?
Well, Petey ain't been around.
I love it. Michael Knight, you're amazing.
He knew Petey as an embryo.
But I thought that was more Michael Knight.
As a five-year-old, and that's it.
I thought that was more Michael Knight than the writers. I would swear that Michael Knight added it, because he's probably saying, this is ludicrous that my brother's on and I never met him
yet. Yeah, you know what? That's probably true.
And so I just feel like that was more Michael Knight giving the finger to how stupid that is. But I loved it. I loved it. Tad and Jesse were good together. They work. You know what they remind me of? They remind me of... of Robert Scorpio and Luke Spencer back in the General Hospital days, when a soap couple didn't have to be just a guy and a girl. It could be two women, it could be two guys, friends, enemies. That's good stuff.
Here's what I liked about it, and this is where the story got good for me, because we'll get into the whole Blandy setup thing, frame thing, blah 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 blah. We'll get into all that. But what I liked was, not only now are the stakes raised, because Jesse has been tasked with finding the killer of Richie. He don't care how bad Richie is, he got to do it. But now this is a problem, because if his stepdaughter is being implicated, that's a problem. And if, you know, Tad's brother is being implicated, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So it gives it a nice level of complexity, if you will. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesse also reveals, all right, To Tad, that Crystal is Adam's alibi for this whole thing.
Yes.
Now, which means, again, she lied to Tad by not telling him the truth, right? Because she didn't tell him anything about this.
Right, yeah.
And so he goes home. Actually, first of all, I also have one note. Tad's hair is looking really super white now, huh?
Yeah, but you know what? He cut it, and it looks so much better when it's shorter.
But it's whiter.
But it's shorter, and I think it looks whiter. But it looks better when it's
shorter.
But
he looks older.
I've been saying that he should dye it. He don't listen to me. But I'm saying I'd rather have it short than long.
I think his haircut makes him look fat.
Well, yeah, but when it's longer... No, see, when it's longer, it makes him look fat. When it's shorter, it makes him look slimmer.
No, because it's short and it gets white and the color matches his skin, so it just looks like all head, so it looks fatter.
You're so silly.
All right, fine. Anyway, Tad gets home that day. He is not happy with Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And all week, what happened with Crystal was basically on Monday's episode, she went to see Adam, right? I don't remember why. Why did she go to see Adam?
I forgot.
Some dumb reason. She goes to see Adam.
Because it was in the script.
Yes. So she goes to see him on Monday, and Jesse is there questioning Adam.
Yes.
And Adam says that the car, that new car he got with them expensive, rare trademarks, got stolen. And he looks at Crystal as if to say, you know, come on, Crystal, cover me here. And she immediately does. She goes,
no, I don't think he was looking at Crystal for that. I think Crystal on her own immediately jumped in to save him. Because that's more interesting. I think that's the way it looked to me when I was watching it. I felt more like Crystal was just like defending her man.
Right. She looked to Adam for guidance on how she should answer that.
Yeah.
And then that's right. And then she answered it the way that would protect Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So then he, like, they have, after Jesse leaves, you know, they have their back and forth. And first of all, I am hating Miss Bobby Eakes' hair like that. I don't like it. Remember when Erica Kane, Susan Lucci had her curly phase? It was almost like, I think it was like last summer or two summers ago, and Miss Lucci had her curly phase, and she didn't want to, like, it seemed to me like it was summer months and maybe she didn't want to blow out her hair or something.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it.
I liked it.
Crystal's hair is curly.
I liked it.
It looks like a big poof ball.
No, I liked it. It looked cute.
It looks like Colby.
It looked, no. No, 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 no.
She looks like a big puppy.
No,
Q-tip.
Don't ever compare anybody to that Brianna Mongrief, please. No.
I didn't like it. She's,
you know,
a beautiful woman.
Bobby
Eakes
was on Sorted Lives this week.
What the hell is Sorted Lives?
Sorted Lives is a new show that's based on some movie from the, like, 10 years ago, and it's on Logo, that MTV Gay Network. And I only saw it because it's supposed to be like a campy soap opera of Southern trash. And I was shocked when it said guest starring Miss Bobby Eakes. And she was on for like 2 seconds on a TV screen, no less. I was just like, that's bizarre.
That is bizarre. She's so talented.
She was playing like it was like somebody in the show was watching a soap opera, and the nurse and the doctor were hooking up in bed, and I was like, Miss Bobby East is getting more action on Sorted Lives than she is on All My Children.
Oh, that's funny.
And the guy she was with was young, wasn't
really?
Tad or Adam.
Ooh, nice.
And it was so cute to see her.
I had a new outlook on that whole Adam-Crystal relationship ever since I saw Mr. David Canary in them Gunsmoke or Bonanza, whatever it was he was in them scenes where he played Candy.
He was something back then.
Holy cow, he was so freaking super hot. He was so freaking super hot. Oh my God, he was adorable. He had a great body. He had an interesting, sexy face. He had them eyes, them blue eyes.
He still has all that. It's just older.
It's not quite as super hot. It's sexy, but it's not super hot.
Well, the man's like 99.
But I know, but that's what I'm saying.
You gotta give allowance.
Well, anyway, ever since I saw him like that, I see him in a different way. Adam's hot. Not super hot, but hot.
Okay.
Anyway, Adam then comes back to Crystal on Wednesday on the Grown Up Day episodes of All My Children, and he confronts her again about this whole thing. And then he tells her that she, because all week they've been playing back and forth about that stupid kiss and about how she loves him and he loves her. Adam and Crystal love each other and all that stuff. We know that. And he says, you're connected to me. And she says, well, of course I'm connected to you, but I still love Tad. So it's like, this dumb back and forth.
Oh, but I love those scenes. The dialogue was great. Their acting was great. It was really heart-wrenching to watch her. Because you could tell that she really loves Adam.
My only point is not that they're dumb, because I like the relationship. My only point is that when is this story going to move forward? We know Crystal loves Adam.
Because All My Children right now is not in the business of telling stories.
Oh, no. I know what it is. It's not that they're in puberty. It's that they're in, what's the place between heaven and hell?
Purgatory. That's what we are for watching this
week. We are
week.
In purgatory. We are absolutely in purgatory, and that's where they are, and that's where we are, and that's where everybody is, and that's why it's painful. Anyway, what I like about the story again, and again, this is the good portion of the podcast, this is the good stuff portion of it, All My Children, is that Tad comes home and sees Adam, basically kicks Adam out, whatever, Adam leaves.
Yeah.
And Tad confronts Crystal, and he has this look on his face. He's pissed. He busts Crystal for lying, and I really like that part of the story.
That was good.
It was good, right?
It was good.
So that was the only good part.
And then we got to continue with it. There's more.
What happened?
On Friday's episode, Jesse went to go visit.
She kept lying.
Wait, but she went to go visit Tat, and Tat called Jesse.
It was Jesse. Tat called Jesse on saying
that the only reason that he's there is because he needed to confront Crystal. He needed to see Crystal eye to eye.
Right.
And boy, was Crystal shocked when she came in and she busted Jesse. And you know how I knew she was shocked? Because her dry cleaning, she just threw right there. Could you imagine paying that much money for dry cleaning and then you're going to throw it on the chair and get it all wrinkled and everything? I was like, that's ridiculous. I was like, could not believe she did that. I guess I was like, she must be just upset that Jesse's there. And those were some really good scenes, and those were some intense scenes.
So wait, so remind me what happened then, though. She still kept lying.
Yeah, she still kept lying. But then she, because remember that Adam, when Adam went to visit Crystal on Wednesday's episode, he told Crystal basically that he wanted Crystal to just spy on like Tad and Jesse and stuff. Mm-hmm. So Miss Crystal went ahead and did it on Friday's episode, and she was grilling Jesse. But Jesse and Tad know what she's up to, and she was really laying it on real thick too. She was like, "Well, do you have any suspects? Well, is there any?" I mean, like
it she was also just, like she was also saying. Well, I mean, that Richie was no good anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you know, well, like, how far do you want to push this?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was like, you could tell she was working for Adam. Mm-hmm. And then little Kathy made an appearance and told us that she peed in bed.
She peed in a bed.
I was watching it. I said, oh, my gosh. She peed in the bed.
But we'll go up and clean it up for
but
you, honey.
Did you notice? And she says, did not want Crystal to do it.
I want my daddy.
She did not want Crystal to do it.
Perfect for me. Perfect.
See, but this is, again, this is what I'm talking about. This is a glimpse, and yet this is not a storyline. This whole thing with Kathy being well-adjusted and stuff, this could be a real storyline. Instead, we get Kathy. When was the last time we saw her? 5 weeks ago? It feels
she
like.
She was hiding under a table or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's just. I mean,
she had the good sense to run away from Kobe.
I wish I could run away from Kobe.
Gosh, darn.
Damn it. But I like those scenes. I like the fact that Kathy, and did you see when she like, and he said, say goodbye to Uncle Jesse. And she's like, goodbye, Uncle Jesse. I was just like, she even liked Jesse more than she likes Crystal.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And I forgot what it was. She told Jesse something funny because Darnell laughed. They're like,
oh no, what he said, he improvised.
What did
he said, you smell good. And she said, it's my lips.
Oh, I know. That was so cute.
It was adorable. She answered him honestly, I think. Because she probably was wearing like a bubblegum lip gloss or something like that. You know what I mean?
So, see, those moments are like, I love. That's all my children. That's all my children to me. I loved. I was living for that. All right, okay.
How do you? All right. I want to. I think we have to go back to Blandy now. I think we have to illuminate for the viewers who ain't watching what's going on.
I'm just going to say this about because I know you don't like it. Miss Blandy's the bright spot in this storyline for me.
Because, so then I guess we can talk about it because we're still on the good stuff.
Yes. I had to say Melissa Clay Egan is milking it for all it's worth, and I'm loving it. As ludicrous as some of the crap they give her is, she is playing it to the hilt because she knows this might be her swan song. But I'm loving it. I'm loving my Annie. She's cracking me up.
I'm just shaking my head, viewers. You can't hear me.
She is cracking me up with her shenanigans and her trying to get out of it.
A tear is just leaking from my right eye, just sliding down my face.
We're not going to agree on Miss Blandy. Go ahead. So, start. Go ahead.
This is my problem. My problem has always been is that we got Blandy, perfect Miss Holly Hobby, Miss Mom Jeans, you know, lady. And all of a sudden, she is murdering people.
She murdered one person.
Framing teens.
She is not framing teens. They did run him over.
She's framing them. She hit him with a jack.
But they ran him over.
So who cares? They didn't kill him. She killed him.
But she's not saying that they killed him. She's just saying they ran him over.
Yeah, she literally says, you're going to pay.
She said they ran him over.
She's gonna frame them. One of her self talking to herself monologue things, diatribe things. She said it. She crazy. And she gonna take fertility drugs. She ripped up that letter from the lawyer about Ryan's, you know, non vasectomy, and she went and impregnated herself. That's three evil deeds. That's too evil.
See, I don't look at it as evil. I look at it as she's desperate. She's desperate at this
point.
Oh,
she's got that little glint in her eye. Every time she says she's going to do something evil, she goes...
Well, she is Richie's sister. Maybe she has a little... This is her Richie coming out. Her inner Richie.
It should have happened when Richie came on. They messed up this whole storyline.
This is her inner Richie.
P.U., it stinks.
Or maybe she's like those Lord women on One Life to Live, and she's got two personalities. Annie and Fanny.
See, that would make me happy. I would like that. I would like that. But to me, as much as she's all evil and stuff, she's still Blandy.
No,
she's still
Blandy. She's Miss still Tele Blandy. No, I'm thinking she's hysterical.
But I'm telling you, she's a good actress. I'm not talking about the actress. I'm talking about the character. She's still Blandy to me.
And she's the bionic woman, too.
How come? Why you say that?
Because I loved when the kids were on the other side of the pool talking about it. And she was like, yeah, she heard them. That was the choppiest, horrible, most edited scene. Because you do not see that she's anywhere near them yet. Because of the look on her face, you saw, you know, that she somehow heard them from like across the way. I was like,
well, yes, I agree. Ridiculous. Oh my God, Jordan Hudson is rolling on the floor laughing. She's Jamie Summers. That's what she is.
Jamie Summers.
She kind of looks like her, too.
No, you know who she looks like? It's been killing me because for so long, she looks a little bit like Terry Hatcher from Desperate Housewives.
Oh, you are crazy.
Yes.
Oh, you are nuts.
Yes, I think she looks a little bit like Terry Hatcher.
Oh, he's a crazy
man.
No,
I think she looks a little bit like Terry Hatcher.
I'm going back to the beginning. Mm. Beginning of the week, we find out that Blandy is preggers. She is absolutely shocked that Ryan could even think that she would be pregnant by another man. The man that believes that he has had a vasectomy for the last 10 years, and she is shocked.
That was funny.
And she is outraged. She is so outraged. She says, "How could you think that? Ever since I came to Vine Valley, there's been no other man but you for me, Ryan. No other man but you." She was clearly outraged.
I loved it. I thought it was hysterical.
Now, here's what I love about the whole entire week. My favorite thing that happened. Now, Ryan has to get a test. He has to get a sperm test.
Uh-huh.
This is not a blood test. This is not a urine test. This is a sperm test. For you to get sperm, you have to do something to yourself as a man to get the sperm.
Uh-huh.
You got to produce.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ryan just grabs this nurse and tells her that he needs a test. But it's like, and everybody's like, yeah, you have to get the test. You have to get the test. Get the test. The man has to in a cup. You don't think that's a little embarrassing? That everybody knows that he has to in a cup.
Well, everybody knows he has a vasectomy. What's your point?
Ryan's
business is all out there.
But what do you think he thought about when he was doing that, his business in the
cup? Really?
But what do you think he thought about? I think he thought about Greenlee and Kendall and Blandy. Because he was quick.
No, I think he was talking about, I think he was just thinking about Greenlee.
Like, come on. Like, what?
He was like,
think?
I miss my little Smurfette.
Here's my thing. Yeah, right? Here's my question. Why couldn't the writers have given one sentence to the embarrassing fact that Ryan just had to in a cup?
I don't know. As a man, it just seems very natural to me, so I don't get embarrassed.
Viewers, are you with me here? Am I the only one that's like,
I can't you're, because you're a woman.
But give me a little bit of just did my business. You know, something.
It's not embarrassing to me as a
to
man.
In a cup. In a hospital.
I was gonna say something that was TMI, too much information.
Thank you for not. And listen, I agree. Maybe it would have been too much TMI. Maybe it would have been TMI if we all talked about Ryan doing in
a
cup.
Everybody knows. Look at it this way. Everybody in Pine Valley slept with Ryan.
Listen, fine. He got a point.
And everybody knows his business.
I'm sitting here. I'm saying, Jordan Hudson, you need to do a sperm test. Go into the next room. Give me a sample.
Uh-huh.
Don't you think it'd be weird if I'm sitting here like,
no, it's a natural normal thing.
And I'm
thinking,
and you're like doing that thing in a cup.
It's a natural normal thing.
But not if I'm sitting right here and I got to think about you doing it.
See, it doesn't bother me. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Maybe it's a guy thing. It just doesn't, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I did kind of like these scenes where Kendall and Greenlee confront Blandy in the hospital bed. Ooh, that Blandy was a cold biatch.
And that's why I'm loving her.
She did good. She goes to Greenlee. Now, I know it couldn't happen for you, Greenlee, and I'm really sorry. But I'm really happy for me. And Kendall looked like she wanted to take her 7-pound arm and just slap that girl. But I liked Brian's reaction to the baby news. I thought he was very good this week with his reactions to the baby news.
I give him props because they give him such crap and he plays the hell out of it.
I think so too. I mean, he was
really... I actually believe that he's in love with Greenlee the way I believed when he was in love with Kendall.
Yeah, I did too. I really did. I thought it was nice. And I'm actually, God forgive me to all you viewers that hate Riley, I'm starting to kind of get excited about the idea.
I'm not.
No?
No. Me and Super Poster, no.
Super Bowser,
you're still with me, right?
Yes.
You're still with me, brother, right?
Sure, he sure is.
I still don't want them together.
You can go to his website. He's got a wonderful fan site, people. You know, he's our friends. You can find him at myspace.com/superposteroftheyear. A lot of the bloggers on his site, the people that write on his blog, agree that Riley is a couple they don't want to see. But a lot of them like him, too. I don't know. I think it's 50-50. I really do. Mm. I'm leaning towards the 50 that do. Mm. And I'll tell you why.
Go ahead, tell me why.
You got two choices right now. Because they ain't smart enough to put Jake with Greenlee. So your two choices are Riley or Ailey.
Ailey?
Who you going to pick?
Who's Ailey?
Aiden!
Oh my God, is he still on the show?
Yes! You got Riley or Ailey. Who you gonna pick? I'm picking Riley. Anytime.
I wanna know who he's sleeping with at ABC that he still has a job.
I don't know. That's a good question. Julie Hannon Crap Brothers.
Must be.
I don't think he's sleeping with her. I think it's just oral. That's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. Because, yeah, I don't want to go any further than that. Anyway, so then listen.
That was funny. I like that one.
But anyway, I love Blandy. When Blandy's like asking Ryan about how he feels about the baby, and she
see, you like her. You say you don't, but look at you. Like, she made you laugh.
She does make me laugh.
She's
like, she
good.
She keeps asking him for like... You know, it's so weird. Like, you said that you remembered loving me, but you haven't told me that you love me. It's so weird. Do you love me, Ryan? Do you love me? Huh?
This is what I'm talking about. This is good stuff.
And he's like, I'm just getting used to things. I'm just, you know, trying to get used to all this. It's a lot to process. And, yeah. And it's like, she's clearly not answering her, and she ain't getting it. It's just like so pathetic.
I love it.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
When the Scooby Gang...
Oh, my God.
I'm not talking about the Scooby Gang, the teen scene Scooby Gang. Oh. I'm talking about the Scooby Gang of Kendall, Greenlee, Adam, and Zach.
Must we?
When they're done with the sperm test... That everybody congratulates Ryan for having in a cup.
Uh-huh.
They go to Confusion. Now, Zach goes with Kendall to the Confusion bar and orders a drink from this really pretty waitress.
Uh-huh.
Is it me, people? He was looking at the woman the whole time, flirting with her. Is that just me as he was ordering a drink for his wife with his wife next to him?
Maybe this is a future Chuck Pratt storyline and they're going to go swing town on us.
As the waitress walked, I hope so. That would be interesting. Interesting. But as that waitress walked away, he looked at her up and down. I said, oh, no, you didn't, Zach. He did.
Have you seen Swing Town?
I would love to. What is it?
You don't know about Swing Town?
I don't know about Swing Town.
It's the new show on CBS. It started at the beginning of the summer.
That's not true.
About Swing. Where have you been?
Under a rock.
Obviously, Grant's show from Melrose Place is in it.
No.
And it takes place in the 70s. And they got like a lot of bad reviews because people were like, oh, it's about sex and blah, blah, blah. But see, that's what I don't like about reviewers. They don't get stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it just irks me. Well, maybe Omichel's going to do Swing Town on us with Kendall, Zach, and the Confusion Waitress.
We should be so lucky. We should be so lucky. That would require some thought and brain power. That ain't going to happen. Julie Hannon Crap Brothers, need I say more? The next day, Ryan, of course, wants to go to see his vasectomy doctor to find out what went wrong, and Blandy panics. But she goes with him. And the nurse assistant says, you know, we tried to call you and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And Ryan's like, no, I never got the message, no. Blandy's like, no, that's a shame. I'm terrible. Oh, my God. But we better go, Ryan. We better go. On the way out, the assistant congratulates Ryan for having a baby, for making his wife pregnant. Can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
He went to the doctor to not have babies. He went to that doctor so that he could never have another child again. Mm-hmm. Why would that nurse be congratulating him on having a baby? If anything, she should be apologizing. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
No sense. Yeah. Stupid.
We're not done yet.
Not done, unfortunately. Ryan, of course, after he sees the doctor, tries to run away from him. He can't run away from Blandy fast enough, goes to see Greenlee. And I kind of like this little exchange. Like, again, like I'm liking Ryan with Greenlee a little bit. Oh, come on. It's better than whatchamacallit, Ailey.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
He does that. They do that old All My Children trick where, you know, Ryan starts to tell Greenlee that he loves her. He doesn't love Blandy and he wants a future with her. And then he wakes up and then it's really him. So he like fantasizes about telling her the truth, but he doesn't. Now, he gives her two kisses to leave and he kisses her on the mouth. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
He's so bored right now, people. You should see.
No, I'm not bored. Just keep going.
All right, fine. He kisses her and she doesn't really notice that he's kissed her a little bit too long, a little bit too much on the mouth. Don't you think? Like, why didn't she notice that?
Because it's not in the script.
I know, but he did that. I would have been at least a little bit, you
it's
know.
It's not in the script, girl.
In the meantime, Blandy goes and dumps Richie's ashes. Now, I want to know, don't you think Walter Novak will be a little bit pissed off? Am I right? You're laughing because it was the silliest thing. Because
he didn't have his machine on when she called him.
She
was like, Dad, I'm going to go.
She left him a voicemail.
But she went to the country club to go dump Richie's ashes.
Yes.
But see, this is what I love about this story because it was so campy. Because the whole episode, she's walking around the country club with dessert.
It was great comic relief, let me tell you.
Oh, God.
He's crying, people. He's laughing.
Because she's like shitting shiva. She's walking around with this air. And she's walking around with the air to the country club. And I'm like, nobody's looking at this poor woman with an air talking to herself.
He's crying.
Oh, my God.
You're going to have an asthma attack, baby.
That was so funny. I have to say, I love me some Annie.
He's loving her. He's
Annie, you gave me such joy this week.
He can't even call her Blandy. He has to call her Annie.
I know, I love her now.
Anyway, and that's, of course, when she hears the teens talking. Bionic gears.
Oh, my God.
So then, the next day, we're at Fusion with Kendall and Babe. I think the first time all week we saw Babe. And I want to ask you a question. What's Kendall wearing? That asymmetrical ugly thing? Oh, it was this asymmetrical dress, people. It was like over one shoulder was brown. She looked like you know what she looked like? She looked like in the movie Caveman. With those over the shoulder pelts and those, you know, 90-pound Shelly hack. That's what she looked like. She really looked like that. It was horrible. So Blandy, of course, comes in late to work and Kendall's pissed off. And Blandy asks Babe if Colby could babysit because this is where she starts her little plot about framing the teens.
So stupid.
And, of course, Kendall wants to fire Blandy, but Babe sticks up for her because everybody sticks up for her. And then that's when Jordan mentioned that Blandy got that nanny cam. And this is where it bothers me, Jordan Hudson, because Blandy says things like, Colby, you're going to help me get away with murder.
I loved it. That was classic soap opera. I loved it. Oh, yeah. The thing that was ludicrous about the whole
thing. And then when she leaves and she sets the thing up, she goes, okay, girls, start talking.
I love that. But the thing that it was so campy and so ludicrous, because the fact that she thinks that if she sets the cam up in this direction, that those two girls are going to sit right in front of them.
It was framed perfectly, people.
And you know what? Those two stupid girls did.
Well, they didn't really confess.
They didn't really confess. But they were so stupid. They were just stupid. And I loved it. It was so stupid that I had to love it. I was just like, it was so ludicrous.
I thought that you were going to say the campy thing about it is that that as they were babysitting for Emma, there was no sign of Emma.
No, I thought that was hysterical too. I was just like, you're coming over to babysit the kid and the kid is obsessed with the whole
Napping.
Episode. We're not going to pay this girl to come in. It's like,
ABC's, well, Ryan came
ABC's
back.
Cutting corners, yeah, wherever
seriously.
They can.
No, that's no lie. I'm telling you right now, that is no lie.
They're like, do we really need to see Emma? No. She's just upstairs sleeping.
Well, that's when and that's when Ryan comes home. But I like Friday's episode because Blandy actually tells him that she thinks that the teens might have something to do with it. So that's why she had the nanny cam. And he destroys the nanny cam.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Because he was like, forget this. We're not going to do this. Right?
Well, because in his eyes, Richie deserved to die anyway.
Yeah,
so,
of course. Exactly.
You know, why are they going to frame these poor little girls? Though Kobe, oh, she's such an idiot. Oh, God. We'll get to her at the end. All right, let's speed through this because we're running out of time.
We're running out of time. We had a little bit of Greenlee walking with Jackson. Do we care?
What were they talking about?
Ryan's vasectomy. Because the whole
and
town
everybody
knows,
in town knows about Ryan's right, vasectomy.
And also Erica.
Yeah, but you know, see, this is my problem. Like, everybody knows everybody's business in this town. Like, nobody's business. My God.
Nobody's got their own business.
Nobody's got their own
They're
privacy.
Talking about everybody else's
I mean,
business.
Does Jackson really need to know what's going on with Ryan's sperm?
He certainly seems very curious about it.
Okay, so let's go to Erica, which started off really bad this week.
I almost didn't take notes on it because it was so bad.
It was really, it was just not good.
It was her last days in jail, and Sable
what up?
Captures her. She-male Sable. What?
Hi, Alan. I'm Sable.
That one. And Erica's fake terror. It just drove me crazy. Now, Sable, please. We can talk about this.
No.
I did not sleep with your Harry. I don't know what you're talking about, Sable, please.
It was a horrible ending to a really good story.
I have a question for you. Why were there more people there at the SWAT team at the jail than there were on the ER staff when Julia died? There was 3 people in that room when Julia died. When you watch an episode of Hopkins, there's like 30 people in a room for like, you know, a surgery, for a sort of regular surgery. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was ridiculous. And then Erica, of course, gets away. It turns out that the woman was, like, upset because her Harry had some kind of infatuation with Erica or something like that. And the she-male is about to, stick her shiv into Erica's, you know, 10-pound neck. And
oh, was that what she wanted to stick
it? Yes. She wanted to stick something else, too, you know what I'm saying? And Erica takes her 4-pound elbow. She jabs the she-male in the chest and gets away.
And yeah, I was supposed to believe that.
And it was so silly.
It was real. I was very disappointed. Because I liked the whole
jail
story.
Because Erica
line.
Has learned so much in jail. She's learned not to take any crap from anybody. Mm-hmm. She's toughened up. She's toughened up so much that the first thing she does is get out. She orders champagne and caviar from a room at the yacht club.
No, see, that was some good stuff.
That was pure Erica Kane. Oh, can you believe it?
She looks fabulous, too.
Can you believe it? I'm free. Free.
She looks hot, though.
Of course she looks hot. She's Erica Kane. Who takes a bath with a full face of makeup? Who does that?
Erica Kane.
I think it was Jill that talked about her fabulousness in all these scenes. She was pretty fabulous.
I mean, I was like, she looked gorgeous, my God.
She takes a bubble bath. She gets a massage. She gets her nails done. And you know what? She calls Josh and Bianca.
I think it was CRS. I'm not sure who said in the blog that supposedly he's been bumped down to recurring. So again, everybody. I'm not amused about that because you know what? When we found out that the storyline was even happening, I was against it wholeheartedly. I was pissed about it. And then you hire an actor that I like, you make me like him, you bring Jeff Martin back, and you make me like Jeff Savari Hunt Martin, and now you destroy this part of all my children's history, and now we're not even going to get to see Josh anymore?
I agree.
I'm not amused. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Do you think we'll get to see Bianca?
No, I think we're never going to see Bianca again.
I love when Erica made herself some, called herself in. I love when Erica called herself in some room service. What should I eat first? The lobster? Maybe the filet mignon. Oh, the risotto. Oh, I'm in heaven. And then she takes a spoonful of each and she pukes it out. How do you think she stays so thin?
Oh, you're so mean. Pilates.
Yeah, that's true. I love me some Miss Erica Kane.
I wasn't joking, though. Her and Cameron Matheson, they have an infomercial.
For hair products?
No, for some kind of like ab crunch or Pilates machine. Shut oh my God, up. It was so horrible. I mean, it was one thing for Susan Lucci to be doing it, but then when they show Cameron Mathis and he's like, I did it too, I was like,
that poor man, he got a family. He knows where his bread and butter is.
But he's everywhere.
He's got a family.
God, ABC must not be paying him that much then, because he's everywhere.
Well, in the meantime, we had Opal seeing Sam Woods and introducing herself. And she gets all up in his grill, and she tells him that Jackson is the one for Erica, for my little Miss Erica, Erica Kane. So what does Sam go ahead and do? Because he likes a challenge, this man. He goes to see Erica in her room at the yacht club, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask you a question. I'm getting the feeling that one of the first things this woman is going to do when she gets out of jail is have sex with the man that put her in that jail. That's a little crazy. I was not feeling the chemistry this time. I felt the chemistry in the jail cell. I didn't feel it this time. It felt icky to me. No? Am I wrong?
I don't know. Everybody likes a little chocolate.
Ugh. Oh, my God.
I could not believe. When I heard that line, I had to rewind. I was like, they did not just go there. They went there, Jackson. Been back.
He said that to Jackson, too. He didn't even just say that to
I know.
He said to Jackson. I loved it.
I was like, oh, my children's getting a little feisty.
What was that stupid thing with the paparazzi, though? Taking pictures of Sam and Erica. And Sam lets him.
No. Sam didn't let him. Sam was like, because Sam, I think that was more for Jackson's benefit.
I don't get it, though.
Well, no, the paparazzi was trying to take the picture. Jackson comes in.
He grabs a camera. Guys are about,
and he's as shocked when he opens the door to see Sam and Erica, like, canoodling. And I think that was more of a piss contest between Sam and Jackson. Sam was like, let them take pictures. What do we care? We don't got nothing to hide.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. I think that's where Sam was coming from when he was like, take the picture.
Erica got Jack a stapler. She got Sam Woods a beautiful purple tie. And she got Sam. And she got Jack a stapler.
Well, that tells you where Jack stands.
Jack is all upset with Erica over Sam.
Well, it seems like Chuck Pratt has no plans on using Carmen because she was nowhere to be seen this week.
Nowhere this week.
With all the shenanigans going on in Chandler Mansion and in Adam's life, with Erica getting released from prison, we saw no sign of my Carmen. So again, I'm not amused.
Well, I'll tell you, there was some big, big drama this week that we forgot to talk about.
What?
Angie gave her weave what for? She tamed that weave? She gave it a bitch slap. That weave retreated, whimpering like a little puppy.
You're mean. I liked her weave this week. It looked very Janet Jackson All For You video.
She gave that weave what for? She tamed that
She
beast.
Looked very Janet Jackson All For You. Whatever she looked you hot. Say. I think she looked hot.
I thought the weave was very sad and hurt.
Leave her alone with her weaves.
I have
Leave
to
my
tell
Willona
you,
alone.
I have to tell you, I have never in my life since I've been doing this podcast, fast-forwarded on this program, and I have been tempted many a time. I had my finger on the button this week when Frankie and Randy came on my screen. I didn't do it, but I had my finger on the button.
I have to disagree with you. If there's anybody that makes me want to fast-forward, it's Brianna Mungreif. I agree with you. I'm in the Frankie and Randy storyline. I mean, I already said earlier why I think the big problem is, and I don't know who on the we gotta take notes.
More than somebody one big had a problem.
Good somebody had a good point about Frankie and Randy in the blog. It's hard to get into the storyline because you know what? Her character is so one note and one dimensional. They write it that way. I mean, she is such a nasty piece of work.
She can't act.
What does Frankie see in her?
She can't act.
And I'm so sorry. I don't know if it was Jilly or I don't know who it was, but somebody had a whole like section of the blog on this and they were so right about that. Randy is so not a likable character. She really isn't.
Listen to this.
And what does Frankie see in her? And for Frankie to even compare Randy to Cindy.
I know, that was bad.
And to his father.
Cindy Chandler, he compared her to Adam.
And to her
dead wife, Cindy Chandler.
And his father. I was like, Angie, slap some sense into your son. It's the storyline has been very well, it's just been very badly written. It really has. I mean, I agree with you. Randy is not the most versatile actress. She does not have the widest range. And she could be playing more stuff. And she's not. She just doesn't have that talent to do that.
She doesn't have the talent to pull off lines like this. He beats me, yeah, but he's always got my back. That was what she could pull off.
That's why we need Pam Grier to come in as Foxy Brown and slap some sister into her younger sister Randy.
Even Frankie got on my last nerves this week with her trying to beat some sense into that you know pea brain of hers.
I know, but he's so good. I fell in love with him.
Even Frankie, I couldn't take it when he was talking to her. He's like, I don't see a woman who's a prostitute.
I love
I see a woman
though.
Who loves pistachio ice cream.
Look, he was good though.
Oh, come on.
I was like, Randy, go ahead, open those legs.
Oh my God. She would though. That's
give
not
it to
the
him.
Issue.
Give it to
that's
him.
That's not the issue. If he wants
I
that,
know,
he could
but,
have that.
But she would want $100 for 30 minutes.
That's her problem. That is nasty. Let me tell you. That is nasty.
Yeah, I'm kind of giving up on this storyline. It's just not going to happen.
Well,
it's not.
Here's the worst part of it for me. The worst part of it for me is that he leaves her in the safe house. The shelter.
Now, was this the Brooke English shelter? I could not believe when a couple of weeks ago he mentioned her going to the Brooke English shelter. And they mentioned Brooke English, but they don't have Julia Barr on the show.
If that's what it was, I can't hear it. Anyway, it's supposed to be a woman's shelter. And Fletcher gets in and tells her that she will always be trash. Now, people, we got a woman's shelter in my neighborhood. There's cameras. There's emergency buttons. You don't let a man in a shelter unless the police have ID'd him practically. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but
no,
it's almost impossible. And he gets in. The very definition of shelter is shelter. Safe house. No sense. It's insulting. It's insulting. And I'll agree with you, Jordan. She is so unlikable and bitchy, and they are writing her unlikable.
Yeah, they're really writing her unlike. There's no redeeming, you know, quality about her. You don't understand why Frankie is like feeling anything for her, other than the fact what like Angie said, she's hot.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Now, my favorite line of the week was Petey when he referred to Pine Valley as Pain Valley.
About it.
Look, I'll say this. The only good thing about the teen scene this week was Petey. I'm liking me Petey, even though I still don't know if they know what he... And then I don't know if I told you, but he's not a contract player.
No, I think I know
he's
that.
He's recurring. And I'm like, okay, so he's recurring. Carmen's recurring. Yet Brianna Mongrief is on contract.
I can't talk about it. What I will say, they go to the pool. They keep blah, blah, blahing about the stupid, you know, run over, hit and run accident. It's Dredd. It's Cass.
It's Dre.
Dredd. Cass, Petey, and Cold B. And Petey obviously now has a huge crush on Colby. She's abysmal. She's drinking rum or whatever she's drinking in her Coca-Cola, which is ridiculous.
And then when he tasted it, he was like, holy bad drinks.
It was.
I love me, Petey. And Petey, don't be ashamed. You have a nice, young, ripped body. Why was he covering up his body?
Little.
No, it wasn't little. He's naturally thin and lean and ripped. I think he should be proud of his
ripped.
Body. Yeah.
Hudson,
yeah, and he kept covering it up with the towel. He's a cutie little Petey.
Jordan, if you don't
he
have
is not,
not
a nerd. He's a hottie, ladies. Jordan, he's a hottie.
Jordan, if you don't have not one piece of fat on your body, your muscles will show. So I don't know if you could call
no,
that ripped.
He is in good shape. He is not anorexic looking. Now y'all were commenting on Cassie's bathing suit. Guys, I gotta tell you, Cassie needs to eat a hamburger. She was
yeah,
way
you guys,
I you guys in the blog. I mean awkward. I'm not saying that she was repulsive looking, but that's a bathing suit that was way too big on her.
It
wasn't even tight.
On the other hand, Colby, I gotta be honest with you.
She could do some crunches.
No. I think the opposite. I think her body's perfect.
No, she could do a little toning.
Sweetheart.
It's a little flabby around
she's
it for my
beautiful.
Taste. But.
Her body's beautiful. Her face ain't beautiful. But her body's
she
beautiful.
Has bad posture, too.
I agree.
She's very hunchback.
But you look at not one
you ever notice that?
She's always, shapely.
Her shoulders are always rolled
I'm
over.
I'm impressed by Babe's body.
Babe has a hot little
she's
body.
She's a hot little body.
I will not say that Brianna Mongrief has a good body. I don't think so at all.
Well,
all I say is that Petey made those scenes for me. I'm loving me, Petey. I wish they put Petey on Kaja and give him a real actress to work opposite and give him a real storyline and let him see his mother, goddammit.
Well, all we could do, exactly. All we could do is you know, wrap up this storyline, blissfully, by saying that Cassie sees, they see the guy tailing, because Jesse has them being tailed because he knows that they're in a little bit of trouble. And the guy is so obvious about it. And Cassie picks up on it, and she tells Frankie, and she tells her mom. And then Frankie ends up going, she thinks it's Fletcher. They all think it's Fletcher. And Frankie ends up going up after Fletcher, right?
Right.
I love that. I love when he kicked the shit out of Fletcher. I thought that was sexy as hell. Oh, my God.
I was waiting for Starsky and Hutch to come in behind.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, you know what I loved that we forgot to mention?
What?
When all the nurses were talking about how hot Frankie was.
Oh, that was funny.
And Angie overheard.
That was great.
And Angie went up to that nurse and was like, "What are you doing for dinner, girl? How you doing?" I was living. Miss Angie was like, so, that was so funny.
I'm going to tell you
one
thing.
That nurse. I like the nurse. You didn't like the nurse?
I don't want to be mean.
I like the nurse.
She was really tall.
She was an Amazon nurse.
I found her a hair homely. I did.
You are horrible.
I'm sorry. Do you think she'll ever listen to this podcast?
I hope not. That was horrible. I think, Amazon woman, I think you're hot. I thought she was cute.
All right. Well, listen, you want to do 2 minutes and One Life to Live?
Okay, I'm going to try. All I can say is One Life to Live was really good. That's about it. It was the 40th anniversary. Ron C didn't let me down. Even the, you know, they titled the episodes on One Life to Live, and Monday's title was anyway, I forgot the titles, but it was really good titles. And the show was really good. And all I can say is that I don't even like Erica Slezak, but I loved her this week. For anybody who watched the show, the history, Robin Strasser and her were amazing together. Seeing all these old timers come back to visit and seeing Tina's daughter go over the cliff. I mean, it was one thing after another on One Life to Live this week, and I was loving it. And I even loved Guiding Light Monday and Tuesday. Reva and Josh. Oh, my God.
That's good. I'm happy for them. That's good.
Yeah, but it was only 2 days for Guiding Light.
All right.
And As The World Turns was abysmal this week. Oh, I'm very worried about my As The World Turns. Mm-mm. And they're biting off a story at General Hospital. Where the whole town gets infected. General Hospital did that like a couple of years ago.
Oh, God.
I'm really disappointed. But One Night to Live was, oh, my God. Dorian, Robin Strasser, I adore you. I just do. It was One Night to Live was riveting. And I remember the titles. Monday's episode was A Little Bit of History Repeating. And Tuesday's episode was Everything Old is New Again. And if you saw those shows, it really fit.
He has love in his eyes, people. I wish you could see his face. It was so good.
And Agnes Nixon played God.
Yes, that was good. I saw clips of that.
Oh, my God.
You just saw her fingers at first, and then you saw her.
And Erin Torpy, the original Jessica, came back.
It was a
stroke of genius. They brought her back to play Jessica's daughter that Jessica lost, Megan, because they were supposed to be Megan Jessica Tuck, who is Megan Vicky's daughter. Mm-hmm. But at the last minute, Jessica Tuck couldn't do it. So Ron C had a great idea. We'll make her Megan, Jessica's daughter that died, and Erin Torpy played it.
What about that Natalie with her wig?
You know what? It was the first time I actually liked Natalie. I actually believed her as a Latin woman. I thought she didn't do a bad job. Oof. But the guy who plays Jared was playing young Clint, and it was funny because he actually could be like Clint Ritchie's son, the original Clint Ritchie. Mm-hmm. Though I love Jerry Verdorn as Ritchie. See, this is what I love about One Life to Live. They brought Jerry Verdorn back because they know they needed the character of Ritchie. We need Ruth Martin.
How about Maria knowing that she was going to have a baby boy?
Oh, back then they just always assumes a boy because everybody always wants a boy.
I will name him Cordero.
Cordero.
Except she said, I will name him Cordero.
She did it. She said it right. You're being mean. And then, you know, the next day, Clint and Cord were talking about her. And it was so well done because they were going through, they were showing the scenes in the past of his, Natalie being his mother. And then they go to the present and Clint and Cord were talking about Maria. That's what I'm talking about. I wish that all my children was going into that area where they were delving more into the history. Because you got so many characters in the show that are still there from the past.
They won't do it. I'm exhausted. I told you, I had to limber up for this episode, and now I'm wiped out.
It was really, Petey had it right. It was Pain Valley
this week. Well,
all right, guys.
On to next week.
Hopefully, this will be a better week.
I hope so. If you want to write us, you can email us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page, www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, and you can leave a comment. or you can go to our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com, where you can link to our blog, you can link to some of our friends' sites, all that good stuff. Thank you for listening to us this week. As always, I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
Hey. I'm sorry I'm showing up unannounced, but I tried to call and your answering machine didn't pick up.
Oh, I unplugged the phone. I just didn't plug it back in.
Oh. You mind if I come in?
Oh, yeah, sure.
How you feeling?
Bigger. When'd you get back from L.A.?
This morning I took a red eye. So I came straight over here from the airport.
So I gather this has something to do with Colby.
Have you and Adam thought about what we discussed before I left?
Yeah. We've talked about it. Do you still feel the same way?
I do. I feel that way more than ever. Liza, your due date's right around the corner. We need to settle this. I don't want to fight you in court, but I will if I have to. I'm going to be Colby's father.
I believe I have some say in that matter.